ESPN 97.5. Even in fairy tales, happily ever after doesn't just happen. It always needs a little help. That's why for over 100 years, Benbridge Jeweler has been dedicated to helping couples begin their happily ever after. The team of engagement experts at Benbridge is here to help you on your romantic journey. We'll assist you in selecting the perfect diamond and just the right ring from a wide selection of the most beautiful styles, including the exclusive Signature Forever Mark Diamond Collection. Only Benbridge offers the remarkable Signature Forever Mark Diamond, responsibly sourced and hand-selected for its beauty and rarity, then crafted with the Benbridge Signature Cut to maximize brilliance. The result is the most beautiful diamond we've ever offered. So make sure your fairy tale starts with a trip to Benbridge Jeweler. Happily ever after begins here. Benbridge. The Galleria, Willowbrook Mall, Memorial City Mall, and Benbridge.com.
It's that time of year. Kick off this football season at Barcelona Sports as we celebrate our 60th year in business. Barcelona Sports offers the largest selection of football equipment and performance apparel from your favorite brands like Nike, Shot, Under Armour, Wilson, and more. Personalized customer service is our specialty. We custom fit every athlete with two locations at 9999 West Sam Houston Parkway North and 10405 Katy Freeway. Barcelona Sports is your destination for high-performance team gear. Visit us at BarcelonaSports.com.
Are you wondering why Steve at the office is strutting around looking unusually satisfied? Well, Steve discovered the fondue effect. You see, Steve took his date to the Melting Pot on Westheimer. Together, they dipped into a four-course fondue experience, bringing them closer than any ordinary date. While individual results may vary, the Melting Pot guarantees its staff will do everything possible to ensure the fondue effect works for you. Dial 713-332-5546 for a reservation with the Melting Pot.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for
you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, The Blitz is back. No Fred Fowler. It's A.J. Hoffman and Barry Laminack. We're going to run through a couple quick calls, and we're going to get sports here in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's talk to Bo here on The Blitz. What's up, Bo?
I was thinking y'all found that spot there in that commode, and I was remembering a couple of weeks back where John was talking about not pleasuring himself. I'm kind of figuring he kind of broke down and took care of that, huh?
That's a good possibility. John, do you have anything you want
Maybe
to admit?
He caught a really good Pokemon.
For those who didn't hear, Jong has gone, he's not masturbated since Christmas.
Why?
Because it makes the sex with his girlfriend better.
Well, how often are you having sex with your girlfriend?
Apparently all the time. I mean, I guess.
Oh,
they're young and in love.
I thought you meant that neither one of those has happened, that he's waiting.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's only right. Having sex with her, but he's stopped masturbation completely.
Okay. All right. And it's helping, Jong?
It is helping.
All right.
You should try some time.
Jong once had a problem with no. The first time Jong and his girlfriend had sex, it lasted forever. Like, it wouldn't be over. And I guess, like,
you should write a book.
I always say, like, you know, the first time you're going to have sex with a new person, it's always better to
take
care of it beforehand.
Yeah,
otherwise, it's going to last, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, because men get excited, you know. You try something new, and it's like,
wow,
fire hose blast.
Like me with a bag of Oreos.
Yeah.
All three rows are gone.
But Jong apparently had the opposite effect, and so, like...
You got scared?
No.
Had you been drinking?
No. When you go, you know, 25 plus years of your life, you know, knowing one thing, it's kind of like...
No. Knowing one thing...
Just knowing your hand is your only partner.
Yeah.
Then you switch to a new partner, it takes some getting used to, is what he's saying.
Man, I don't know.
It took me about the first time that I switched from being all hand into a, like, you know, an actual female vagina, it took me about 16 seconds to make the adjustment.
Really? Why'd you wait so long?
I'm holding out for her.
Because I care, baby. All right. It's because I care.
Let's talk to Raymond.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
So, I was coming into work one morning. I was a shift supervisor, and I checked inside of the stalls, and somebody had a Subway sandwich and half-eaten cheese Danish, and they had just left it on the toilet paper dispenser. And we were trying to figure out if, like, this is where the guy wanted to have his lunch, and he just figured taking a dump was a good thing to go along with it, or if he just was getting ready to go home and just forgot to take it home with him.
What? So he was eating on the toilet?
Eating on the toilet?
Have you ever done that? Don't lie. Don't lie.
Nope.
Oh, okay, me neither. I totally haven't done that either then.
No.
No, never.
Joe. What's up, Joe?
Sports
to you.
Enjoying the conversation. Good. Have you ever heard of the Upper Decker?
Yes.
Yes.
Where you take the lid off the toilet, doo-doo in it, and then put it back on and leave.
We got it.
Joe's dropping science.
Is that really why Joe called? That was his?
Joe's just calling to, he's dropping science.
Joe, everyone knows, everyone who's ever watched The Simpsons knows, or Beavis and Butthead, that's...
I thought
you get to 35 years old, you know what an upper decker is.
I'll be honest, I thought for a minute an upper decker. I got that and a Blumpkin confused.
Don't.
I'm sorry,
Ray.
Not the same, but Ray.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Sportsy.
All right.
All right. Just wanted to kind of speak on the subject. Yeah, we have a commode at the job, and.
That's
it
good.
It sits outside in the hot ass sun, you know, of course, how these summers get. So it gets real, real hot in there within the first 5 minutes of you dropping a deuce in there. And so everybody at the job wants to take into consideration that, you know, do it in the morning, it's a little bit cooler. So when everybody gets done, you know, you have about 5 or 10 guys back-to-back dropping deuces in the morning, and then it gets all steamy and cooked up in there. So. Oh. By the end of the day, it gets pretty funky in there, and it gets real nasty to the point where it's like you can't really get within 10 feet of it, and it's disgusting. Where, so that's all I wanted to touch on.
Where do you work?
Yeah, where do you work?
I work off of close to the Alden district, and we work in a shop. And so there is no plumbing around it, so it's just kind of got a commode sitting out there, and it's just it turns into a sauna within the first 5 minutes of you being in there,
bro.
You don't try to do that before you leave for work in the morning.
Hey, listen, I need you. Hey, Ray, listen in at 6:11. I'm going to read a spot for my computer career. You got to get a new job, change your life, bro. It's time to change your life. Take a step.
Oh.
All right, thanks for the call.
Jeez.
Yeah, those aren't human working conditions.
I love that the board
conditions.
Filled up with toilet stories.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk to Michael, who can maybe bring us out of the bathroom. Sports, Michael.
Hey, sports. How's it going, guys?
Going all right, man.
All right, good, good. Yeah, man, mainly just a question and a comment. I'll start off with the comment. Basically, I watched UFC at a buddy's house. We had a bunch of people over and, you know, had the UFC 200 card on. And to me, overall, it just seemed like it really didn't deliver. I don't know if it was because, you know, John Jones, you know, popping for, you know, Type B or whatever. Whatever the case is, maybe it was overhyped. And I don't know. I give it a C+, honestly. I think the best fight of the night was, you know, Tate Nunez. And it comes to my question. You know, before that fight, Thunder Rousey, you know, we all know had 6 straight title defenses successfully, at that weight class. Since then, there have been 3 more champions, including this past Saturday, and no one has had a successful title defense.
Right.
You know, is that just saying that Ronda Rousey's kind of like floating the division and keeping it up for, you know, women's MMA, or, I mean, is everyone equal? I don't know. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys and see hear your take on it. Thank you.
Different divisions, I mean, they go through this. The heavyweight mm-hmm. division, it, almost every time there's a heavyweight fight, it changes hands.
Yep.
The 205 division used to be like that until John Jones came around. So it's not that the it doesn't prove that the women's division is weaker or something like that. You know, it just it means that there's a lot of parity in it. You know,
well, once she won the title, she was taking on whoever they put in front of her. But sometimes you get that matchup, and then that matchup, you know, the Holly Holm matchup was bad news for Ronda just because of the style of fight that it was.
Yeah,
and she was unable to impose her will on Holly, and so she ended up getting caught. If that fight happens again, I don't know that it goes the exact same way. Much like everyone just assumes that McGregor is going to knock out Aldo in 13 seconds again. That's not happening.
No.
And so it's one of those things where you might see it happen, but you've had these different styles of fights within the women's division there that has created, you know, problems. Like Holly. Holly was very susceptible to the ground, and the thing was, is for whatever reason, Ronda wanted to prove she was a striker, couldn't get her to the ground, couldn't get her down to submit her. So, but it happened when she fought Miesha Tate. So it's just one of those things, man. Miesha Tate just got pieced up. She looked like she fought Mark Hunt when it was over. She looked like her face looked like hamburger meat because Nunes' striking was so crisp, and I just don't think Tate was ready for that.
Yeah.
So I could see Nunes Holm next. That's a fight I would want
to
see.
To me, the best fight of the night was Aldo versus Edgar.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That had to be the best.
To me, that fight was great, I knew it was going to be a great fight no matter what. And I think it's funny that Jose Aldo went 10 years without losing, was basically regarded by everyone as the pound-for-pound best in the world.
Yep.
Loses one fight.
Gets caught.
In the flukiest fashion you could imagine. And everybody's like, no, that dude lost it.
Yeah, he's falling off.
He's done.
They were even saying in the hype that it was the old an old Jose Aldo and a down the hill Jose Aldo and a resurgent Frankie Edgar. And it was like,
yeah.
It was a punch. That happens, man. Everyone's got a button.
Yeah.
And you get caught on that button and you go night-night. And that happens sometimes.
And don't get me wrong, Frankie Edgar's great, by the way.
Yeah.
But Jose Aldo tore him up in 2013, and everybody was like, he's just like, all of a sudden Jose Aldo forgot how to fight or something.
Part to me is that, well, I think two things. One, those knees early set the tone. Aldo caught Edgar with a couple of knees early on when Edgar was coming in, and I think that really set the tone for the fight. But the fact that Aldo didn't throw any leg kicks was just fascinating to me because that was his bread and butter.
Yeah.
I mean, he could slow his opponents down, which I thought he would do against Edgar, because what better way to slow somebody down like Frankie Edgar than to chop those legs down? And he didn't do it.
The other thing people were saying about that fight was, well, Edgar is coming into his peak and Jose Aldo's past his prime.
Yeah, that's what...
Meanwhile, Frank Edgar's 34 years old. Jose Aldo's 29.
Yeah.
I don't know how peaks and, you know, downhill of your past your prime, I don't know how that all works, but usually I think you get to a certain age and that's when you start to become more ineffective. Jose Aldo's not even 30, and y'all acted like he's like Crow Cop now or something.
This was class, Joel.
You know, Shogun Hua, oh, he's done, big nog. Like, no, that dude is still a beast.
Were you bothered by the 48-47? Because it was 49-46, 49-46, yeah, 48-47.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There were some things that happened in the scoring that bothered me. I was bothered that there were 10-8 rounds given in the Cormier-Silva fight.
Yeah. That made no sense.
Like, Cormier never looked like he was going to finish Anderson Silva.
Close. And once he locked down that leg, he couldn't do anything.
Yeah, so I didn't like a lot of the scoring, but at the end of the day, nobody got screwed out of a fight that they should have won.
No.
That's really what matters in the end. All right, if you guys want to talk about UFC 200, we'll talk a little about what he said. The event, he thought the event was underwhelming.
Yep.
I'll see what you think about that. And we got some Rockets talk coming up in this hour as well. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
From the
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Hey, John, I know you said I'd need to read these things, and then I said I would do it, and then I haven't read a single one. So I'll do one now, and then I'll do one in the next segment. Thursday, your last chance to qualify to play in the final of the Blitz Summer Poker Classic. Join us at Dave and Buster's on Richmond with Big Stack Poker League. Sign in for available seats. We'll begin at 5. We'll shuffle up and deal at 7:15 to find the top 25 who will advance to the finale for a chance to win the grand prize, a 55-inch higher LED HD TV, and $500 cash. So Thursday at Dave and Buster's. All right, let's talk to Johnny. Sports to you, Johnny.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing sports.
I got a question for AJ about UFC. How did the fight between not John Jones, the guy that's Anderson Silva, how did he actually look to you with 2 days' notice, a flight over from Brazil? How do you think that he did? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, first of all, Anderson was already in Vegas when he took the fight. He was going to be at UFC 200 anyway. They flew up his team 2 days with 2 days' notice. He looked terrible, but no one cared. Everybody was happy to see him there. Dude had gallbladder surgery 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly wasn't in fight shape. And not only that, people don't realize this. Daniel Cormier, you could argue, he would be favored against every fighter on the UFC roster except John Jones.
Yeah.
If you put Daniel Cormier against Stipe Miocic, the heavyweight champion,
he might be.
Daniel Cormier would be favored. Daniel Cormier went undefeated at heavyweight.
You think he'd be favored against Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Wrestler on wrestler like that?
Yep,
no doubt. You think his wrestling is superior?
I think his MMA is superior to Brock Lesnar's.
Okay, because I was going to say, Brock, man, after watching that fight, that dude is just...
Oh, he's a monster.
So strong.
You were down on... And by the way, I also picked Brock Lesnar to lose.
Yeah, I did.
But you... Like, you don't like him.
I was hate-tweeting.
Yeah, you don't like Brock Lesnar
Well, first of all, he was a better fighter when he was American. Okay.
Well, he looked better as a Canadian, I'm just going to say, than his last time out as American.
He didn't look as good. Yeah, I don't know, man. It just wasn't... I don't know. At least I'll say this.
Can you see him now?
Yeah, I can see him now.
Can you see him now?
It was impressive. I said it. But here's, at least he did more than Cormier did.
Yeah.
At least when he took the fight to the ground, he did ground and pound. Yeah.
His hands
was just laying there, and I don't think Anderson Silva's lockdown defense was that legit.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was good. I think Cormier could have done more, and I heard, you know, and Shock brought it up Sunday. Well, maybe he just didn't want to, you know, beat him up too bad because he took the fight.
That's not the case. I think he was, I mean, and listen, Anderson Silva's...
He's a pretty good fighter.
Probably the best fighter of all time.
Yeah. One of.
You don't go into that fight with him, even while he's on short notice, and say, I'm just going to play around with him like a cat plays with a mouse.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way because... There's too many highlights floating around of Forrest Griffin running from the cage crying and Vitor Belfort with Anderson's foot shoved up his nose.
Looked like someone blew up a building. You ever watched a building get blown up and fall? That's what Vitor looked like.
So,
just collapsed on himself.
Listen, did Daniel Cormier fight an exciting fight?
Nope.
No, not at all. Did he fight a smart fight against a pretty dangerous guy that he didn't train for, didn't prepare for? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was glad to see Lesnar because I tweeted out that I stand by this, and I've said it for a while now, but I think wrestling is simultaneously the most effective and most boring style in MMA.
I agree with that,
and so it was good to at least see Brock Lesnar do something on the ground because you saw it again with Roy Nelson and Derek Lewis. He didn't do much when he took the fight to the ground.
In the second round, they said, "Hey, bro, you better get to work or we're going to take a point from you."
Yeah.
Like he's going to get like a yellow card like Pride.
Yeah.
Because in that round, he did nothing.
Oh,
it was like they just walked around and Mark Hunt ran from him and Brock Lesnar didn't really chase him. And it was the worst round. But the first round and the third round, Lesnar got takedowns and pounded on Mark Hunt, who Mark Hunt was a top 10 heavyweight. Yeah. Brock Lesnar took 5 years off from MMA and basically dominated a top 10 heavyweight.
I was really hoping at one point that Hunt could maybe hit a small package, roll him up, get that pin. Even if you had to pull the tights, that would have been all right with me.
That wouldn't
have
worked.
Wasn't happening.
That wouldn't have worked.
Nope.
So, yeah, that was... That fight, for whatever reason, it was still interesting to me, even though it wasn't the most exciting. It was more exciting than Silva versus Cormier.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. And I know people hate me for this.
You're going to hate on the chicks, aren't you?
After those four fights, after Kane, Travis Brown, and DC Silva, Jose Aldo Edgar, and Lesnar Hunt, I had about as much interest in that women's title fight than I would, you know, Bum Fights Volume 6. It just would have done, it did nothing for me. I was.
Really?
No.
So you watched it?
I watched it.
And but you didn't like it?
I thought it was okay. But
she pieced her up. Nunes pieced her.
Yeah. Oh, she did. She was impressive.
That was nice striking.
But going into it, I just had no interest in that. Well, like, I think they made
it. That's just how you are.
They made a mistake making that the main event.
Is it because they're female fighters?
It's because to casual UFC fan, Misha Tate is the girl that Ronda Rousey beat up twice,
right,
or three times now. And
they have no idea who Amanda Nunes is.
Most people had no idea who Amanda Nunes is.
No.
And that was the main event on a card that was so stacked with big names. It just seemed weird to me. And
see, that's the other thing is I somebody, I think, had earlier asked our opinion on the card. I just don't agree that it was stacked with big names. I think there was some decent fights on this card.
I mean,
this was not an A+, let's celebrate 200 UFC pay-per-views or 200 UFC cards. I just don't agree with that.
Okay, I'll tell you why, and I'll, for comparison's sake, the biggest card in UFC history up to this point was UFC 100.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read you some of the names that fought on that card, and you tell me if you considered them great fighters or what you thought of them.
Okay.
Shannon Googerty.
I love me some Googerty.
Matt Grice. Tom Lawler. C.B. Dalloway.
Ooh.
Dong Hyung Kim.
Uh-huh.
T.J. Grant. Jim Miller. Mac Danzig.
Uh-huh.
John Jones.
Uh-huh.
Versus Jake O'Brien.
Huh?
Mark Coleman versus Stefan Bonner.
Oh.
This is the main card now.
Yeah.
Yoshihiro Akiyama versus Alan Belcher. John Fitch versus Paulo Thiago. John Fitch is like the most boring fighter in the history of sport.
Keep going.
And then there were the big names. Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping, St. Pierre Alves, Lesnar Mir.
Yeah.
UFC 200... We know the main card. Lesnar, Hunt, Cormier, Silva, Aldo, Edgar, Velasquez, Brown. Misha Tate's a big name. Amanda Nunes isn't. Johnny Hendricks, TJ Dillashaw, Joe Lozon, Diego Sanchez, Gegard Mousasi, Jim Miller, Takanori Gomi. Those guys were all on the undercard.
Yeah. Are you telling me, though, that there wasn't better fights that could have... You're telling me that those were the five best fights in the UFC to put on a pay-per-view for their 200th card? Is that what you're telling me?
No. I'm telling you that there's never been a main card with five fights with fighters of that caliber, ever.
But that's not the best fights they could have made, in my opinion. There were better fights out there that they could have put on this card that maybe they're saving for another pay-per-view for buys or whatever. But
what they could have done was they could have kept Jon Jones on the card, although that wasn't possible. That wasn't their fault.
Yeah, that wasn't there.
They could have put McGregor Diaz on the card, and they could have tried to force Ronda Rousey to fight.
Yeah.
But
see,
apparently she's like mind bleeped and can't do it.
But that's the thing. When they were started talking about 200, everyone expected to see McGregor and Rousey and those
and Jon Jones
on the card.
And they got none of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's my point.
That's fair.
All right.
We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right. Let me do some business here real quick. We're live. Oh, it says we're. It's not. I'm not live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on Friday. But starting early with Reality Check at 9, followed by John and Raheel, and wrapping up with Unfiltered. Join us on 45 North just after West Canino at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Come out early and stay all day. Catch the live shows. Browse over 7 acres of trailer and truck accessories. Enter to win a free trailer. Enjoy the culinary crafts from Shipley's and Uberito while you grab a complimentary cold one, courtesy of St. Arnold's Brewery and ESPN 97.5. So on Friday, every local show except ours will be at Trailer Wheel and Frame up on 45.
And ours.
Oh, yours won't be. Every daily local show.
Every show that matters.
Yeah, every show that matters.
Every show that counts.
Every show that counts. And Reality Check with Barry and Gwen will be at... let's talk to Ray. What's up, Ray? Sports.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, now.
All right. Just wanted to talk on that UFC 200. I want to first off say that I did like the card.
Okay.
But if you ask my honest opinion, I just don't think it lived up to all the hype that I think Dana White tried to do as far as, like, trying to build, like, the very best card of all of UFC of time, you know, just trying to build the best card. And it just seemed like from all the lineup changes from, you know, the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz and then to Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier and then it finally went to Anderson Silva. And when I first heard about it, I was like, why? You know, he hasn't even been training for it. I think he's going to look sloppy and he's not going to really last throughout the entire fight. And, you know, y'all kind of touched on it on the last segment, but, you know, it just, the whole Miesha Tate fight, it just, to the end of such, I thought, was such a good card, it just seemed to just throw off the whole balance of the whole entire card because it just seemed like, okay, well, you had all these great fights, and it just, you end with that, and it just kind of, you know, don't get me wrong, I do love women's sports, and, you know, I do love to see women fight, and it was, you know, incredible to see, but it just wasn't as exciting. If you ask me, I thought the Cain Velasquez fight was more exciting than the DC and Anderson Silva fight. But it just, if you ask me, it just didn't live up to all of the expectations that I thought Dana White had, and, you know, it was all right. You know, it just wasn't as great as everybody else wanted it to be.
Well, I will say this. The fact that they got Anderson Silva and they got a guy, they got a guy who made it interesting to me.
Yeah.
Had they put Michael Bisping in there with Daniel Cormier?
No, thanks.
I knew what was going to happen with Anderson Silva. You know, I knew.
But he had a chance. There's that, you never know when somebody like Anderson Silva is in the fight.
I'll watch
it. Bisping, you know what you're going to get.
I'll always watch Anderson Silva fight.
Absolutely.
Just because I love watching him fight. Michael Bisping would have fought Daniel Cormier, and the exact same thing we saw would have happened, although he probably would have gotten finished.
Yeah.
But there was no doubt who would have won. There wasn't anybody they could have brought in on short notice. And the one exception I'll give, actually I'll give two exceptions. Alex Gustafson could have come in. He offered to come in and do that fight. I don't blame them for not doing it because he was in Sweden. I mean, that's a, who knows what kind of weight he's at.
Yeah.
Logistically, that's a scary thing for the UFC, I understand. The other guy was Gegard Mousasi, who is a former 205 champion for Strikeforce. Was fighting on the card already, so was prepared and in a camp. But Dana said, you know, he had a fight. He was fighting Thiago Santos on that card, and he didn't want to. Thiago was on UFC 200 too. He didn't want to screw him over.
Right.
So they didn't want to do that, and that makes sense too. So the only other guy, I mean, Anderson didn't make sense from a, this is going to make for a great competitive fight standpoint, but it made sense for, I get to watch Anderson Silva fight as a bonus now.
Well, they needed a name.
Yeah.
They needed, when you lose a name like Jones on a pay-per-view.
You think they would have lost that many pay-per-views?
Possibly.
I'm sure there was some. But I don't think everybody was going to be like...
I mean, let's face it. This card, the pay-per-views, you're right, were carried by Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
That's what this whole thing was carried by. But I do think, like, they're... I'm a perfect example of one of those fringe buyers. We've covered MMA forever. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't go out and shell out $60-$70 for a card just because it's a card.
Right.
Because most of these don't have the impact on the divisions that I want to see them have. I think it's just a lot of it is just to have a pay-per-view. So there's got to be meaningful fights. But also, if there are names on the card that I want to see fight, I'll pay for that.
The reality is if it was UFC 199, any one of those five fights that they had on the main card could have headlined it. And it wouldn't have been weird for those fights to be headlining a card. If Cain Velasquez, Travis Brown headlined a pay-per-view card, no one would go, really?
Right.
These guys?
Right.
No one would think it was crazy. Honestly, the weirdest one was Miesha Tate, Amanda Nunes, which headlined UFC 200.
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't put Edgar Aldo as the main.
I don't either.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
But I see where you're coming from, and the casual buyer may have been turned off, but... You know, fights get pulled all the time. Unfortunately, UFC 201, Demetrius Johnson, who is probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, but doesn't move the needle at all.
No.
He got hurt, and he's out of the fight. It's not going to have any more or any less buys than it was going to have. And what I said to one of the guys who was complaining about it is, Robbie Lawler is the name at the top of that card. I'm going to pay $60 to watch it.
Okay.
When Robbie Lawler fights... Like you said, there's certain guys you pay to see fight. Robbie Lawler fight.
A lot of people are like
every
that.
Time.
Yeah.
I'll pay to see Anderson Silva fight every time. I'll pay to see Brock Lesnar fight every time.
I paid to see Brock Lesnar get knocked out. Does that count?
Whatever. Well, and that's, hey, man. You know that more than anybody. There's people who will watch only in hopes that somebody's going to lose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, God, I don't know how many Ronda Rousey fights I watched hoping she would lose until the one that I thought
missed.
I wanted her to win because I thought for sure she was going to win, and it was so blatantly mismatched, and then she lost. But same thing with Conor McGregor. I hate the Conor McGregor act, but I tuned in every time waiting for him to lose, and God, it was so glorious when it happened. But that's why you pay for these things. You know, that's why Conor McGregor's on that list of guys I'll pay to see fight every time.
Because you want to see him get...
Yeah,
exactly. That's why I think Anderson Silva is that name. I mean, nobody's going, you know what, I was on the fence, but Musasi? Oh, let me go on and pay this 60.
No, nobody was doing
Anderson
that.
Anderson Silva, on the other hand, you might go, oh.
That he might have...
You know what?
Well, and specifically because... He's from Brazil.
Yep.
That, you know, that maybe there's an audience that wasn't planning on buying the fight that suddenly bought it because Anderson Silva's name was on. Although I figure Brazilian fight fans probably paying to see Jose Aldo fight anyway.
Most of them, yeah.
You never know. It was hard
to find. And Nunes.
Yeah. All right, guys. Got to tell you about my man, Attorney Gary Trichter. If you found yourself in trouble, maybe you got pulled over after a night out watching UFC 200 and you had two or three beers. You felt like you were good to drive, but the police said, no, man, you're drunk. Maybe they even gave you a breath or a blood test. Maybe you even failed said test. There's still hope for you. My man, Attorney Gary Trichter, a DWI specialist right here in Houston, he's experienced in telling the truth about the science, the faulty science behind police breath testing and police blood testing. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And what that means is he's experienced not only in talking about the science, but experienced in going to trial. You can find a lot of DWI lawyers who will take your case. Very few have trial experience. Gary Trichter has a ton of it. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. You never know when you might need it. 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Attorney Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, no Fred Fowler. A.J. Hoffman in with Barry Laminack, who, if you like what you're hearing today, good news. He'll be back tomorrow. to do this all over again.
Indeed.
If you don't like what you're hearing today,
bad news.
Bad news. He'll be back here tomorrow.
You might want to load up the iPod.
Same thing.
Yeah. You might want to go podcast an old Fred and AJ show.
Yeah, sorry.
So I logged into the text because I was curious.
Okay.
And there is one funny one that most of it is just like somebody was trying to brag about how smart they are, but they send the same text like 5 times. But one guy said that, guys, this Pokemon thing is a way to get fat kids skinny. They're going to be walking everywhere trying to find the Pokemon.
That's true.
That's a good point. That's I like
He's getting them active. Somebody tweeted at me that Pokemon Go's done more for fitness in 1 weekend than Michelle Obama did in 8 years for child fitness.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Oh, we got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. A Louisiana man has been arrested at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon over 4th of July weekend. Aman Bhatia, who's 27, and he's accused of groping 6 people, including teens. What his move was, he would go to the wave pool, and as the waves crashed over the victim, he would begin inappropriately touching them.
Like they were distracted?
Like they were distracted because a giant wave's coming at him or crashing onto him, and he's just like reaching under, getting the little honk honk.
Oh, okay.
Police claim that he stalked out a victim in the pool, and as the waves crashed over that victim, he would grope. One witness claimed they saw Amon move around the wave pool and look to make sure no one was between himself and the victim. Another victim told police she was in the wave pool when she was grabbed by her waist from behind. The victim was able to break loose of his grasp, but he grabbed her again. Her friend was able to help pull her away. The police report didn't specify the ages of the girls who were attacked, but they were teenagers. Amon was questioned about the incident, and he reportedly told authorities that he was, quote, just playing in the pool. That's not how we play here, nope. Sir. And he has the most disturbing mugshot.
Yeah.
His beard, first of all, his chest hair almost connects to his beard.
Right.
Which, if you get that full neck beard,
yeah, that's,
man, you got
Italians jealous.
Yeah, his beard is like it looks like those what are they called, the Hasidic Jews,
uh-huh.
like the curly things. Right. It looks like that, but like if he had if
he's got dreadlocks
in his
beard.
If they didn't wash it ever,
yeah, he's got dreads in his beard,
and on top he has a man bun, but not on the very top or in the back.
Right.
Like a lot of guys do.
I would say normal, but that's not normal.
No, it's not. Yeah. His is directly in the very front.
Like a, wow. Like a unicorn?
Kind of like a unicorn.
Wow.
Kind of like a unicorn. He is.
Handsome guy, huh?
You start to, I mean.
Well, if you look like
if you
that,
put yourself in his, you know, water shoes, you realize why he was groping randoms. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not that it's an excuse, but yeah. Girls probably weren't saying, hey, I'd like you to grope me.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Not working out for
him. I feel your man bun on my...
No. No. Put your man bun in my belly button. No. And that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. One last thing on UFC 200, and in the third hour, we'll get into some professional basketball talk about the Rockets weekend and about Tim Duncan. But I wanted to mention Houston. Sage Northcutt fought on the card, and he came in and did the show before he went out there. Nice kid.
Oh, yeah. Super nice guy.
I don't know how to say this and make it sound like it's a nice thing to say.
Well, they never stopped you before.
But if Sage Northcutt either, if he doesn't improve and gets put in with someone who's not
like a barely in the UFC guy, he's going to be in real trouble.
Yeah.
He survived that fight. You could, I mean, there were people discussing whether or not it was a bad decision. I knew when it was close, you knew who was going to win if it was close.
Well, sure.
But he almost had his arm tore off all by a
guy. No quick tap this time, though, huh?
He didn't tap.
Didn't have strap in his arm?
No.
Okay.
And this was against the one guy on the whole entire UFC 200 card who didn't have a Wikipedia page. So
that's saying something.
Yeah. So he almost got his arm tore off by a guy with no Wikipedia page. Got to get better.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about guys, especially these young guys. And you know, having followed a lot of the guys from Houston, it was always something I worried about because you wonder about the level of training here. That guys were getting as compared to other cities. Thankfully, now there's a gym and 4 Ounce Fight Club that has produced some UFC fighters, along with Travis Took. But I don't know that Sage has came up in MMA learning how to really be a dominant MMA fighter. I mean, he did karate, I think.
Yeah.
Point fighting.
And he didn't spar for the longest time.
He's real fancy.
Yeah.
He's got all kinds of fancy flips, but I think that he's got to get better at understanding, you know, wrestling and jiu-jitsu and learning. He's got to be more well-rounded. Great striker. I mean, he's a great striker.
But he got taken down kind of at will.
Yeah, that's my point. And there's a difference. So you look at
Derek
Lewis.
And his positioning is not good on the ground.
I mean, let's be honest. Derek Lewis isn't going to wow anyone with his ground game. But
he's strong enough to get up.
Exactly. The one difference is when Derek Lewis decides he's going to get up, it doesn't matter who you are. He showed that. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video on YouTube of Joe Rogan watching the Derek Lewis-Roy Nelson fight, but he was like, he's not supposed to be able to stand up like that. Roy's one of the best guys in the world.
Didn't matter.
Once he gets you down on the ground, he's going to just keep with that belly. Who's standing up under that belly? Derek Lewis. Yeah. That's literally the only person that might just... Not technique, just your strength.
Derek Lewis is the strongest heavyweight in the division.
Sage doesn't have... Well, Brock Lesnar might be the strongest heavyweight now.
Yeah, that's true.
Sage doesn't have that.
Although, I don't know. I don't know if Brock Lesnar got taken down on his back, is he able to just stand up like that?
Oh, I...
Because I saw Cain Velasquez take him down and just punch his face a whole lot.
Well...
And he didn't stand up.
I think the difference is Brock isn't used to maybe getting punched like that.
Maybe so.
And I think Derek is so much calmer. But anyways, with Sage, I think, yeah, he's going to have to get more well-rounded if he's going to survive the UFC.
All right. We're going to talk Rockets in the next hour. We're going to talk Tim Duncan in the next hour. We're going to talk to Glenn Davis, who attended the Derek Jeter, Hannah Davis wedding over the weekend.
Somebody texted and said they were on their way to Walmart and all of a sudden they want Chiquita bananas. That was back in 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Good. I told you advertising
good
works. See, advertising works. AJ,
all right, we'll be back hour number three of the Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975.